Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody, to here in this room. I want to welcome also our Fayetteville campus and Pinnacle Hills campus. Glad to have you guys with us today. Today is an unusual day, as you can probably already guess that so far. We only really link up like this via video a few times a year, and today is one of those days where all across the Cross Church family, we come together, and so I'm so glad that all of you are here, whether you're here at Springdale, Fayetteville, or Pinnacle. We're going to have a great time together today. If you're brand new to our church, welcome. Really glad to have you as well. And as Pastor Jeff said, I'd love to see you tonight right here at the Springdale campus at 5 o'clock. We are going to meet with God. Does that sound good to anybody in the room? And I really believe that God's given me a word. And really, I'm going to begin the message this morning that I'm going to really do the last half of that today, tonight at Cross Church together. So I hope that you will join us tomorrow. Obviously, we have a ton of church leaders coming in town. We're really, really excited about that. I have an update from what Jeff said. If you count our church in the mix, there are 100 different churches represented tomorrow that our church is going to get to be a part of ministering to. And so we're grateful again for your generosity. Again, that is for lay leaders as well. So if you'd like to come, calledtolead.live. You can register right there. Begins with lunch, goes through the afternoon, and that is that. All right. Hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. But let's get to this morning, all right? We are calling this day the State of the Church. As you know, every year our president gives a State of the Union address. It's usually filled with a bunch of partisan talk, and it is filled with half the crowd standing, half the crowd applauding. Hopefully y'all don't do the no response thing to me today, okay? Today is a day to celebrate all that God has done. Y'all ready for that today? We're gonna do a lot of that today. Now, this is a totally different type of sermon. It's really not even a sermon in a lot of ways. Normally, we open the Bible, we look at a passage, we break it down, we apply it, and you're dismissed, okay? Today is not like that. Today is an unusual day. So if you're brand new, come back next week. It's a much more normal day in that sense. Next week, we do begin a new sermon series that we are calling The Elephant in the Room. In other words, we're gonna talk about the elephant in the room. And we're going to talk about priorities in your life. We're going to talk about sexuality, politics, alcohol, and more. My, oh, my, oh, my. Okay? It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you got your Bible today, though, let's grab it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 is where we're going to begin, all the way back in your Old Testament. I'm going to get there in just a minute. It was almost 3 years ago exactly that I laid out for you on September 20th of 2020, what we call the Decade of Love, which all that is a vision to reach our mission of reaching people with the gospel over the next 10 years together. And we're going to talk a lot about that mission here in a moment. But I wanted to set it up biblically, and we're going to do it from the book of 1 Chronicles. Again, I will finish this message tonight, but let me give you some context as you're finding your way to 1 Chronicles 16. David has just been anointed king of Israel. He is in the midst of bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. If you are unfamiliar with what the Ark of the Covenant is, I would encourage you to go home, watch Indiana Jones, get caught up, and then tonight we'll talk more about it. But the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God's presence dwelt in a section in the Old Testament. In fact, the Bible records, we'll talk about this story tonight, the Bible records the Ark being placed in the home of a specific family, and that family was blessed just because the Ark was in the home. And so now David is gone and he is bringing the Ark to Jerusalem. And that's a massive thing. And David can't even contain himself. He is dancing for everybody to see. Can you imagine our president dancing for all the world to see? There's a group of priests called the Levites who it was their charge to take care of the Ark. And from verses 8 through 36, David sings a song. He gives them a song to sing and celebrate all that God has done with the Ark. And we're going to focus in on verse 23 and 24 this morning, and then we'll broaden this tonight. David said, "Hey, priest," he says, "here's what you do. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. This is essentially what I'm going to do today. We just sang together, and now really what I'm going to talk about is that statement, tell of his salvation from day to day. What do we do as a church? We tell of the salvation of Jesus Christ from day to day. What a great goal for you in your workplace, by the way, that you would tell of the salvation of Jesus from day to day. David continues by saying, declare the glory of God among the nations. Not too long ago, I did my best to describe to you in a message, what is the glory of God? I say that intentionally. I did my best because glory, in a lot of ways, is indescribable. It defines who God is and what he does. And in a nutshell, it is when you say that only God could do that. You are saying there is no one like him. So when I say, as we begin this message day, that today is a day about giving glory to God, here's what that means. We are saying that God is the only one who could do what I'm about to share with you. God has done some incredible things in our church, and today is a great reminder of Psalm 115:1, which says this, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Only God could have done what I'm about to share with you. And I would just say it to you this way, we are in the midst of a story of glory. I hope you recognize that. I hope you look around. And here's the cool thing. We're seeing this at every campus of Cross Church. I hope you are recognizing that you are in the midst of a glory story. And today I'm going to detail what that is. Our mission as a church is reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. That's basically a simplified way of us saying, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations. This mission statement has carried us for decades. It will carry us into the future. And if you're new to our church at any of our three campuses today, maybe you've walked in and you're like, I wonder what this big church is all about. We are all about the mission of seeing people believe in Jesus. I read a book recently by a man named Jeff Orge, and I love a statement he made in there. He said, the mission matters most. Here at Cross Church, the mission of reaching people matters most. It matters more than the pastor. It matters more than you. It matters more than all of our preferences, more than all of our opinions, and certainly more than all of our comfort. The mission matters most. And today what I want to do is I want to update you on our mission. I think as a member of this church, a regular attender of this church, you deserve to know what's going on in the church. I'm going to be as transparent as I can with you today. And I'm really going to do this in four separate categories today. Okay, here's the four categories. Number one, how are we doing in reaching people locally in Northwest Arkansas? Number two, where are all the construction projects at that we laid out about a year ago for you? Number three, how are the finances of the church? I think you deserve to know that. As a contributor to the church, you should know how the finances are going. And number four, what are we doing to take the gospel to the world, okay? I want you to have a full understanding of the church that you are a part of today, all right? That's where we're gonna do it, okay? Number one, let's talk about fulfilling the mission. Let's speak about reaching people in Northwest Arkansas. If we have full rooms at our three campuses, but are not seeing people saved, we are not fulfilling the mission. I'm gonna say it to you again. We can be a full church, a busy church, but if the baptismal waters are not being stirred, we are not fulfilling the mission of the church. So how are we doing in reaching people? Now, at our church, internally, we track what we call professions of faith. A profession of faith is somebody who professes a faith decision in Christ. They may raise a hand, they may sign a card, they may walk an aisle. We call that a profession intentionally because that's exactly what it is. It's a profession. Doesn't mean that it's a genuine profession. Doesn't mean that it's not either, but it is a profession that someone has been saved. We track professions, but we measure baptisms. You say, well, Nick, why do we measure by baptisms? We measure by baptisms because we believe it's a much more accurate picture of those who have actually been saved in our church. If somebody is willing to do more than just walk an aisle, but they're willing to sit down with either a member or a staff member or a pastor of our church and walk through their faith journey and give us a clear description of a faith decision in Jesus, and then if they're willing to go into the baptistry and get their head dunked underwater in front of a lot of people, That's a pretty good sign that somebody has been genuinely converted. That's normal to us, but let me just remind all of us, it's a bit odd, okay? And that's the way that God laid out for us to go public with our faith is through baptisms. Our church calendar begins on kickoff Sunday every year in August. So August 20th, just a month ago or so, was our kickoff of the year, of our calendar year. Let me back up. In 2021 and 2022, we saw 666 people be baptized. Could we not find one more person, okay? Or like, could we, surely one of those shouldn't count or something. It just doesn't seem right, okay? But that's how you know we're being truthful. That's what it was, okay? A year later, the year that we just finished, August 13th, we saw 1,190 people be baptized. Let's give glory to God. Only God can do that. Let me talk to you about our attendance. It doesn't mean everything or even close to it. It means something, though. It's hard for us to make a difference in the lives of people if they're not at church. We believe it's a vital spiritual discipline for church attendance to be a part of your life. And so let's back up again, 2021, 2022. If you remember, we were still in COVID land, coming out of COVID. This is an average, meaning this is the great days and the bad days. In other words, this is Easter and this is Labor Day and everything in between, okay? That year, we saw 6,117 people in our average attendance. This past year that we just ended, we saw 7,705 average attendance for our church. Yeah, praise God. So it grew about 1,600 people or so. And here's what you need to understand. By springtime, things were at a new trajectory. We were clipping 8,000 several weeks in a row. That all culminated on Mother's Day. We had the highest normal day. So throughout Easter Sunday, because that's not normal, the highest normal day in the history of the church last Mother's Day was 9,100 people. So let me give you a snapshot of the first 4 weeks of the year. So August 20th through last Sunday, we are averaging 9,463 people. And so again, God is doing a glory story here. We've been twice over 10,000 people, which is just insane for us, okay? Now, let me look in the camera. I'm gonna speak to Fayetteville campus directly for a moment, okay? God has blown the campus up in the best way possible, okay? You are averaging over 3,800 people, have clipped 4,000 a few times even since kickoff. And we are in desperate need of seats at the 9:30 and at the 11. I have begged you, and I beg you again today, okay? And we kind of joke about this at Fable Campus, by the way. I need many of you to move to the 8 o'clock service. Let me get like double dog real today, okay? And this is like the reality of our church situation at Fayetteville. If we don't have about 200 people move from 9:30 and 11 to the 8 a.m., we are pretty much capped on what we can do. And so if we wanna reach 3,800 people until kingdom come, that's it, that's the cap. And so what I'm asking you to do, I'm asking at least 200 people to move from 9:30 or 11 to the 8 a.m. service, okay? And here's how I'm gonna try to help. I don't know if it'll help at all, but I'm gonna do my best to help. For all the way through December 3rd, I will be preaching live in person at the 8 o'clock at Fayetteville. This means even in the weeks where I am scheduled to go to Springdale and Pinnacle, I will drive first of all to Fayetteville, then I'll drive to Springdale, then I'll drive to Pinnacle. If ever there was a need for a helicopter, now would be the time, okay? So stupid. There was never a helicopter. I am not opposed to it, okay? I'm kidding. So all of you at the 9:30 service right now, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. If we don't do something, we're capped. So I'm asking 200 of you to join me, okay? I'm gonna kill myself over the next 9 weeks to try to help the church, okay? And so let's do this together. We're adding a preteen service at the 8 o'clock. So preteen parents, there is no excuse anymore. We need you as well, okay? So please help us, all right? Now, growth track, you hear us often talk about. This is the way I want you to think about it. Growth track is people's first step into discipleship in the church. It is a step towards church membership for many people. It is their step towards serving or getting in a small group. And so we talk about it often. Let me tell you what's happened in August and in September. We have had 446 people come to Growth Track. In other words, 446 people who have said, I want to take my next step in discipleship. That's an incredible thing. Let me rewind and let me talk about all of last year, how many people joined our church, because this is insane. Last year, we grew by a mega church. We saw 2,175 people join the church last year alone, which is, again, only God can do that. And again, membership is not just walk forward and sign a card. Membership is you gotta go sit in a class, listen to us talk about doctrine, listen to us hear your story. If you gotta be baptized in order to join the church, you gotta be baptized. You hear us talk about money and giving your finances to church. And 2,175 people listened to all that, did that, and said, I'm in, where do I sign? Only God can do that. Let me speak about how we're doing in reaching the poor. The vulnerable is what we've often called them in our decade of love. We want to be a church locally who loves those who Jesus loved. The poor, the sick, the hungry, the immigrant, and the prisoner. And we are meeting physical needs in our community like we never have before. And let me give you one element of this. Our Feed the 479 ministry through Compassion, through the first 9 months of 21 and 22, fed just over 105,000 people. This year, through the first 9 months of their calendar year, we've already fed over 150,000 people meals in this community, which is, praise God. And it's not just physical. We're also meeting the spiritual needs. In the last 6 weeks alone, 42 people have come to faith in Jesus at Feed the 479, which is so cool. Compassion is meeting needs with foster parents who get a call that they have a child that night. We're able to step in and provide for them. Compassion is helping prisoners who are released from jail and prison. We're helping them reincorporate into society. It's just a snapshot. I could go much deeper into all kinds of things locally, but that's just a snapshot. It is a glory to God, okay? Let's talk about building for the mission, okay? Let me give you an update on all the construction projects here. And we have significantly invested. We kind of put a focus on the next generation in our construction at all three campuses. Let me give you an update on all those. Let me speak, those of you here at Springdale, first of all, this is the oldest building, the one most in need of love, should I say that? And so let me just rewind and tell you what we've done. Okay, in 2021, we renovated the children's and student ministry spaces of the church. It's been a massive, massive win for the Springdale campus. In 2022, we renovated the Upper Hope Hallway, which is where most of our adult small group classrooms are in. We just finished a few weeks ago renovating the entire preschool wing here, which dated back to the early 1600s, okay? This was worthy. We've been in an ongoing partnership with Shiloh here at this campus to renovate numerous parts of this building, and that continues into the future as well. In 2024, we will complete the worship center renovation that you're sitting in right now. So everybody here at the Springdale campus, this summer, we will move into the gym for the entire summer for worship. Okay, so we will move to the special event center down there. And so it's gonna be just about a 4 month gap where we're in there. We may even have to add a service. We'll stay tuned on that. And then we still see a future project where we're gonna renovate the north entrance when funds are available for that. We are getting quotes on parking right now. We know parking is an issue. Praise God, parking's an issue at Springdale campus. Come on now, that's awesome. We're getting quotes right now on how to expand parking here at Springdale. We know that is an issue right now. So growth problems are good problems. We love that. Okay, let me talk to those of you at Pinnacle Hills at the 930 up there. In 2021, as you know, we renovated the children's space upstairs. That was a much needed thing. And then in 2023, earlier this summer, we broke ground on our soon-to-be built student ministry building. And this will also have adult classrooms on top of that. Here's the cool thing. We actually got our building permit on Thursday. That's good timing, right? And then, so we will be moving real dirt within the next few weeks at Rogers for our student ministry building up there. Let me speak to those of you at Fayetteville. As you know, we broke ground last year on our student building in the city of Fayetteville. It should be completed in November or December. And here's the cool thing. For those of you at Fayetteville, you'll notice there's a giant crane in the parking lot, which here's what that means. Tomorrow morning, walls will be tilted up, and this will be moving in a very, very positive direction. All the things that I've just shown you, okay, all the pictures I've just shown you, all of that has been paid for with cash, with no debt, because of your generosity. Only God could do that. Let me add one thing, okay, which is the most recent. In many ways, the crown jewel of what God has done with our facilities has been the partnership that we entered into with a group of people to purchase and renovate a building for our college ministry. It is exploding. It has been exploding over several years. It is our main pipeline for missionaries in the future. So we are heavily investing in the next generation right here. We got this in April. It is almost done. It is unbelievable. I cannot wait for all campuses at some point to walk through this building and be so thrilled at what God has done. It is a glory story. And college students, we are literally within weeks away of moving into that building for our Wednesday night worship services. That's right, services. College ministry is so big, they will have two services in this building, which is a big praise God. Only God could do that. Let me talk to you about funding the mission, okay? As many of you who are regular givers and contributors to the budget of our church, I think you have a right to know how we're doing financially, okay? If you're new to the church, let me help you understand our church governance, which will bring some perspective here. We have a pastor's council of men who are both men and staff who surround me. The laymen always outnumber the staff on the council, and they are exactly what their name means. They are counsel to the pastor. They bring counsel to me on any major decision in the church, on any big investment, on anything we spend money on in a big way. They are the financial accountability of the church. We met this past Wednesday night, and I said, guys, I was planning on saying this Sunday that if the pastor's council were standing before you today, they would affirm to you that the finances of the church are in a very healthy spot. I said, is that correct, men? And one of the men spoke up. He's a Pinnacle Hills member, and he said, that's an understatement. Another man sitting next to him, who's also on the council, he said, it's more like a miracle what God has done in our finances. So you are being abundantly generous. I want you to know that. And we are doing our very best to steward well the resources you are giving our church and to make them matter for the most for the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, I got some good news and bad news financially. Which one you want first? Don't say bad. We're a church. We lead with good news, okay? We're going good news first, okay? Now, our fiscal year, so our financial year, ends next Sunday at the end of September, okay? So we're not 100% sure where we will end, but let me give you just like a two-year picture here. In 2021 and 22, our budget was $21.25 million, okay? Here's what you gave to the ministry budget in that calendar year, $25,802,197. The highest giving to the ministry budget in 153 years that we have existed as a church. If earlier you thought, well, Nick, how are we paying cash for all this stuff? Right there. Not only are some of you being generous to the construction projects, but because of your generosity, just to the normal ministry budget of the church, we are able at the end of the year to take the overage of that and to put it back into the church to reach the next generation and to continue moving the church forward. Now, because of your overwhelming generosity that year, last year we moved that to $22.5 million. Still try to be conservative. And we still don't know exactly where we're gonna land because we've got today's offering and the next week's offering. But here's the good news. We are trending 4% above that year this year. And so if things shake out like we think they are, we will have about as much margin as we did in 21-22 for this year, coming year as well. Now, when you leave today at all campuses, you're going to receive a budget that we will vote on next week at the Springdale campus. And this budget, you'll see, is raised pretty significantly. You say, well, why are we raising it significantly? Well, we're building quite a bit of buildings. And let me remind you, we have grown by 2,100 people. And so we're trying to keep up with taking care of people, taking care of buildings, moving towards the future, and still in that, we're gonna have a lot of margin. And so we are still operating financially like we would advise you to operate financially in your own personal life. We are operating that way as a church. Our pastor's council would affirm that, okay? Now, if you're new here, let me teach you how we handle offerings. We don't nickel and dime you to death by asking you to give to 12 different things throughout the year. We ask you essentially to give to two things throughout the year. Some of you have been in the church a long time. This may clue in, oh, so that's what all that means right here. We ask you, number one, to give to the ministry budget. Okay, this is the bread and butter of what it takes to operate the church to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. Okay, this is what my family does. Let me explain what the Floyds do, Meredith and I. We give to the ministry budget every 2 weeks when I am paid, okay? The Bible speaks of tithing. I would encourage you to tithe to the ministry budget. It's exactly what my family does. I would encourage you, and I'm not asking you to do anything that we're not doing. So join us in giving to the ministry budget. That is the core of who we are, okay? Now, once a year, we ask everybody, and we try to get 100% participation in this. Once a year, we ask you to give to the Decade of Love offering. This is this year on November 5th. This is a once a year, over and above what you normally do, where we stretch ourselves one time to give towards forwarding the vision of the Decade of Love. So, Nick, what is that? Well, we want to leave a legacy of reaching the next generation. We want to be obedient to the Great Commission. We want to love the vulnerable in our community, and we want to equip pastors and missionaries. That's what the four lanes of the Decade of Love are, okay? And so I want to encourage you, as we move to November 5th, we've got about 2 months until then, I'm going to ask you right now to begin praying, Lord, what do you want me to give on that day to the Decade of Love offering? I believe if you ask God, he'll tell you. Like, I genuinely believe the Holy Spirit speaks to you, okay? Now, some people, here's just a little heads up, some people give all year long to the Decade of Love. In fact, Meredith and I do that. So we have kind of our tithe to the ministry budget, and then above that, we give monthly to the Decade of Love. And then once a year, we try to stretch ourselves. And it's a generosity stretch. That's a muscle that, unless it's exercised, it shrinks. And so again, we want 100% participation. You say, well, Nick, how much are we trying to raise? We don't set a monetary goal. We set a participation goal. And that's 100%. In fact, my four kids, who are from 16 to 8, I'm gonna encourage all four of them to give something to the Decade of Love offering, which means for at least two of them, we're paying more, okay? That's what that means. You say, well, Nick, what is the Decade of Love offering going to this year? Well, number one, the four lanes of the Decade of Love I just described to you. Within that is things like blessing baskets. So if you love every year when you do blessing baskets, it's that. It's camp scholarships for kids in the summer, you give to that. It's church plants, missionaries, future opportunities, call to lead conference where we're touching 99 other churches tomorrow. That's paid for by you. So you are touching 99 other churches by what you gave in November. That's pretty incredible to think about right there. We're gonna also give this year towards C3 Send. Last year, we sent 32 college students, fully funded by the church, to our church partners around the world. I just talked to Doug Hickson, our Denver church planner, who's here today. He said, man, those C3 interns you sent us were awesome this past year. Amen. Doug didn't have to pay for that. Connection Church in Denver, So Church in Orlando, Queen's Park in London, they didn't pay for any of that. We paid for that. That's because of your generosity. So we're gonna do that again. And then the third thing is a mystery announcement on November 5th. I call it a Great Commission surprise. We have been working on something for months that I think will be one of the most significant things this church has ever done. It's a big statement. We're an old church. But I believe that God has put something on our heart that is a massive announcement for the future. I'm talking about this will change the church from this point forward. So I'm asking you to begin praying now about what God would put on your heart to give then, even not knowing the full scope of what we're gonna be giving to. But on that day, I believe you'll be pumped about that, okay? I told you I had bad news. That's pretty good news that I just shared with you, right? let's get to some opportunities, okay? For us financially as a church, okay? We look at this in family units of people who give. So my family, the Floyds, would be one family unit who gives to the church, okay? To the ministry budget. Rewind about a decade ago to 2012, 2013. We had 3,581 family units who were active givers to the ministry budget. So 3,500 people. You fast forward to 21, 22, we have now 3,362 family units who are actively giving to the church. So what does that mean? Let me decipher what that means. It means we're a much bigger church, but we have about 200 less families who are active contributors to the ministry budget. So that, again, I'll be transparent with you on all the good like I just did. I'll be transparent with you where we need to grow as well. That's where we need to grow. And now the good news is God has taken care of us, so nobody needs to be guilted by this today. We're in an extremely healthy position financially. But in order for us to be who we really need to be for the future, in order for us to operate at max capacity as a church, we need every family. You can walk into a church like Cross Church and there's greeters at the doors, the lights are turned on, the rooms are clean, there's people on stage, and you think to yourself, man, this thing's wrong, they don't need me. It's not true. We need every single family joining us in the journey of generosity. No guilt. Join us in the adventure and in the fun of giving. There's nothing like it, okay? Let me give you a second opportunity, okay? Let me show you a graph that shows you the number of contributors by age, okay? Now this is, some of you are far from the screen. Let me just tell you who the top kind of teal blue is. Those are our 60 plus givers over the last decade. And then look at every other age beneath that. So if you're 59 and below, here's what that means. We are being carried by those who are 60 and above. Now, in some ways it makes sense. You've walked with Jesus the most, and at this point in your life, you have made the most money or you've accumulated the most wealth. You're further on in your career. So some of those things make sense. The other half of that is, if you are 59 and below, this is quite the challenge to us and quite the wake-up call that this is our church. I'm 39. This is our church. And so Meredith and I, we got to continue to do our part. And I'm asking many of you others who are 59 and below to join us in doing your part. Man, let's look in the next 5 years. Let's flip that thing and let's see what God may do, okay? So that's where we're at financially. Let me give you a final thing and we'll be done. Let's talk about the mission beyond Northwest Arkansas. The Great Commission is something that compels us beyond just Springdale, Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville. Do we all agree with that? Like, Great Commission calls us to go to the world with the gospel. And one of the key components of the Decade of Love was to be obedient to Christ's commission to take the gospel to the world. Let me give you how we're doing in that. We set several goals 3 years ago. Let me give you an update. We set a goal of planting 10 churches in strategic cities around the world, okay? How are we doing in that? Let me give you a glimpse of that. A couple years ago, we began Redeemer Queens Park Church in London. There's a picture of them. We have started Connection Church in Denver. Doug and Dana Hickson are here with us today. They have already been meeting as a church, but officially will launch 2 weeks from today on October 1st. They've already got a core meeting. And then they're about to launch. Doug and Dana, we're pumped for y'all. Last year, we planted So Church in Orlando with Pastor J.D. Cope. Excited about what God is doing there. And then last year, at the Decade of Love, we unveiled that our fourth church plant was gonna be a little bit of a different one because we're really giving to a church planting movement to plant churches in New York City. And we partnered with the North American Mission Board, and we were trying to plant 25 Spanish-speaking churches by the year 2025. Pretty aggressive goal. And so you gave on last November to the Decade of Love offering towards planting churches. Here's what God has done. Since November, there have been 8 Spanish-speaking churches planted in the New York City metro area. Awesome stuff. So if your math is good, the goal is done. That's 11 churches in 3 years. We don't vote on a lot here. We'll vote on the budget next week, but, you know, vote on the pastor. Thank you, guys. I figured we'd just take a vote today, okay? All campuses, we're gonna vote on this. If even though we've reached the goal of 10 churches, now that we're at 11, if you're okay with going ahead and planting more churches in the rest of the decade of love, would you please say aye?
Aye.
Okay, the majority has it. We will continue to plant churches, okay? We set another goal of we wanna send out 50 missionaries from Cross Church. That's people just like you at every campus who would leave everything that's comfortable, everything that's normal to go and help fulfill the Great Commission around the world. On August 13th, we commissioned our 11th missionary. We have more in the pipeline who will be commissioned at the right time. In fact, next week, right here at Springdale, we will commission another missionary. Isn't that cool? Are you someone that God is calling to the ministry or to the mission field? Are you someone who God is calling to be one of the 50 who leaves everything that is normal to go somewhere around the world and take the gospel? When I announced all this in September of 2020, I said a statement that today I'm eating my own words. I said on that day, I said, I believe that we will send out some of our best over this decade. And today that is coming to fruition. Today, we get to commission missionaries number 12 and 13 to the field. I'm gonna ask Travis and Ginger Young to make their way to the stage. Travis has been our children's pastor at our Pinnacle Hills campus for the last 7 years. Done an incredible, incredible job. This is his sweet wife, Ginger, who has been just the perfect partner in ministry. They have been ideal staff members for us. And this guy is an evangelistic machine. I mean, there's no telling how many kids he has led to faith in Jesus and how many families will be impacted because of your ministry. During 21 days of prayer this last January, Travis began to feel a stirring. And over a prolonged period of prayer this summer, he said, hey, I'm one of the 50, me and Ginger, here we are. And so they have been through a church planning assessment. They just got approved this week with the North American Mission Board, and they are official church planters going to plant. They're gonna go plant in Fort Worth, Texas. So if you know anybody in the Metroplex, it's a growing area and a place in great need of churches. So Travis, Ginger, we're so proud of you. Wherever you are, whatever campus, let's bow together. We're gonna commission them right now. Lord, I pray for Travis and Ginger. I pray you would meet every need that they have financially, every person that needs to go and be with them. Lord, I pray for some people from Cross Church to leave and to move to Fort Worth to help them plant this church. Lord, I pray for people who are in need of the gospel that you would begin preparing their hearts right now for Travis and Ginger to move there and to share the gospel with them. So Lord, we love them. They're some of our best. And we send them out to you today. We commission them in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in your name that we pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Y'all stay up here for a second. Travis, we know that you're in need of some startup cost to the tune of about $15,000 that will help them get started in their work. So Travis, on behalf of the people of Cross Church, we're the first church to make a difference right here. Come on, baby.
Come on.
All right.
So much.
Love you guys. Appreciate it. Hey, you can be seated for just a moment. Travis, we're gonna need that check back for the 11 a.m. at Pinnacle Hills. Just make sure I get it before the announcement there. Let me wrap up by just talking about you and your family. What role do you play in all this? Number one, I want you to find your part to play in the mission. We need you. We need you. Every campus, every family, every individual, we need you to be a part of this. Find your place. Don't wait for somebody to come and talk to you. There's too many of you, not enough of us. So approach somebody you know on staff. Just, hey, go to a welcome desk today. Hey, I want to get plugged in. How do I get plugged in? Don't be a fringe person. Don't be somebody sitting on the sidelines. You are in the midst of a glory story. Don't miss out on that. Find your part to play. Number two, be a generous giver to the mission. Some of you have never trusted God with your finances. He'll catch you. Jump in it for the very first time. Be a tither to the church and just watch what God will do. Meredith and I have tithed our entire marriage, and we could give you testimony after testimony after testimony about how God has taken care of us. Be a generous giver to the mission. Then number three, just be a carrier of the mission. God did not call a few professional Christians to take the gospel to the world. He called every single one of us at Cross Church to be a part of taking the gospel to the world. So will you help take the gospel to the world? Will you help take it to your high school tomorrow? Your junior high, your workplace. Let's do this together. I want to wrap up today in a bit of an unusual way. We're not going to have a come forward invitation. Our staff will be lined up at every campus after the service. If you need Christ, come and talk to us. We'll lead you to faith. If you need prayer, you come. But right now, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of rededication. You say, prayer of rededication? Rededication is kind of a Baptist thing. That basically whenever people were getting into sin and they came to church and felt bad about it, they just said, I need to rededicate my life to Christ. Well, the Bible has a word for that. It's called repentance, okay? So if you're in that, just repent today. But the rededication I'm talking about today is this. I want you to rededicate your life to God's church. Like to fulfilling the Great Commission, to reaching people for Jesus through this family called the church. And some of you are like plugged into a depth that you've never been before. Man, you are serving, you're in a small group, you're giving, you're like, you're here every time the doors are open. Praise God. Rededicate, Lord, today, I wanna go further. Some of you today, you would say, Nick, there were times in my church life where I was plugged in more deeply, but I've kind of swayed, and we're more fringe, sideline people. Okay, come on back in the fold. We need you. Come back and get involved. And then some of you, if you're honest with yourself, you'd say, Nick, for me, this has mostly just been a Sunday 1 hour thing. We're in and out when we can and when it's convenient. Why don't you, for the very first time, dedicate yourself and say, listen, we're gonna be about God's church. And we're gonna do this. We're gonna join arms with this people known as Cross Church, and we're gonna fulfill the Great Commission together, okay? So I want us just to bow together at every campus. And if that's you, if this stuff resonates with your heart today, and you say, Nick, this is where I'm at, man. Like, I'm ready to roll. Then why don't you just pray something like this. Lord, today I just recommit. I just re-up with you. I rededicate my life to serving you in your church, to fulfilling the Great Commission through your church. Why don't you just open your hands before the Lord and say, God, use me. Or whatever it is, use me. So Lord, we trust you to take this people. We're not a perfect people, we're not a perfect church, but Lord, we do want to be used by you. And so God, where we need to grow, would you help us grow? Where we need your touch, Lord, would you give your touch? We rededicate ourselves to you, to your church, and to your mission today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.